morning I want to turn our attention to our communion service next Sunday and the time before communion, the time that we as a church have council meeting, the time that we spend evaluating where we are personally in our relationship with God. I'd like to ask a couple questions, and we're not really going to answer them, but I want you to think about them. The first one is, what does it mean to examine oneself? And the second one, how should you examine yourself? And the third one, should my examination be different before taking communion than it is every day? And I'm going to let you answer those personally. I think we probably all would agree on the answers, but there are some things that you might think of that I don't think of, so we're not going to really spend a lot of time on that. I've titled the message, The Purpose. The purpose for examining, the purpose for examination. And I'm going to share two stories that we experienced over the summer during our sabbatical. We generally visited a different church every Sunday, and most of them were not Anabaptist churches, so there were a lot of different experiences, and all of them were interesting. One Sunday, we were in Charleston, and we were going to go to visit with some friends that actually I was in VS with, and it didn't work out for them, so Phyllis had a first cousin there, and so we got a hold of them, and we went with them to church that Sunday morning. And that the church that they attended at the time, they've actually since moved back to Harrisonburg, but is one of the oldest churches in Charleston, and it's an old Southern Baptist church in Mount Pleasant. And I had known about this church because I have a client that attends this church. And it's pretty big. Let's just go there. It's pretty big. And so we went with them to the contemporary service. And I thought, well, this is going to be interesting. Because typically when you think of a contemporary service, everything, all rules go and all bets are off. It's usually whatever they want it to be. Well, we get there and we discover they're going to have communion that morning. And I thought, well, this is going to be interesting. I want to see. I'm always challenged to see how different groups do this. Recently, I actually took communion at an Episcopal church. And it was at a funeral. It was interesting. But this particular Sunday, the pastor got up and he spent some time talking about 1 Corinthians 11. And he actually had the nerve to say, if you do not know that your relationship with God and your fellow man is clear, we ask you not to take communion this morning. And I thought, well, that's interesting because, you know, it's not usual in our day and age to ask people to evaluate their spiritual walk and to evaluate their relationships. But he actually specifically said, we ask you this morning, and he said it a couple times. We ask you that if your relationship is not clear, that you would not take communion this morning. A couple weeks later, we went to another church, which was also a contemporary church. And this one doesn't have two services. It's just all contemporary. And we went there with some friends. And it was a good service. And we discovered that they were having communion as well. The difference was when this pastor got up, he didn't talk about that. He didn't talk about 1 Corinthians 11. He didn't talk about evaluating your relationship with God. He simply said, we're all sinners. We all come here with grace. And so you're welcome to take communion. And I was taken back by that a little bit. I didn't disagree with him, but I felt like there was some things missing. Now, some of that could be my own opinion, so we'll leave that alone. What he said was true. We are all broken, We all need grace. And we should not expect to come to a communion. We should not expect to come anywhere perfect. And when we talk about examining ourselves, it's not about making ourselves perfect. It's about evaluating my relationship with God. The other part that I thought of after I wrote these notes was that in both of them, the one, it felt a little different, but in the last one, what I came away from there feeling kind of alone. Because the way they had it prepared, they had the table set up front and all the sacraments were out front, and you went up yourself and you got it, and you went back to your seat and you just kind of did this alone. It really wasn't a feeling of a church body celebrating something. That's my opinion. So I want to ask you the question, which one was right? Was one of them wrong? And how should we respond to the Lord's Supper and why? Now, I'm not going to say that either one of them were wrong. There was right things about both of them. But I think there could have been more to at least the last one than what they presented. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 11, and we're not going to spend a lot of time there this morning. I have three steps to self-examination, but I would like to look at 1 Corinthians 11 and just look a little bit at what Paul was addressing here in the chapter when he talks about examining ourselves. And I want you to just pay attention as I read it. Verse 17 to 22, Paul addresses the error of what the church was doing. And then in 23 to 34, he gives them a solution. And so just keep that in mind as I read that. Starting with verse 17. In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you, and to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat, for as you eat, each of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For if anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions. So if you look in verses 17 to 22, Paul is specifically addressing something that was happening in the church. And what was happening was there were wealthy ones and there were poor people. And they were coming, some of them were coming hungry, some were coming, they were going to fill up and go home and save money, I guess. I don't know. But what he was addressing was the fact that they were not honoring each other. They were causing division by the way they were doing this. He didn't say, you shouldn't come together to eat or you shouldn't do any of this. He just simply said, you're not honoring each other by the way you're doing this. And I would rather you didn't do it if you're going to do it in this way. He then in verses 23 to 34, he gives them the answer. He says, and if you read through it carefully, he talks about honoring each other, having a humble spirit, and using this specifically for what Jesus was talking about. But he says, I want you to examine your own heart. I don't want you to examine each other. I want you to examine your own heart and find out where you are in your relationship with God and in your relationship with each other. And he does address the relationships with each other. And if you read, again, as you read 1 Corinthians, Paul specifically spends a lot of time in the whole book dealing with relationships. So most of Corinthians is dealing with their relationship with each other, their relationship with God, and their relationship with the world. So we're going to look at three steps this morning to self-examination. The first one, I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 13. Verse 5. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you unless, of course, you fail the test? The first thing that I want to ask that we need, or I want to give that we need to be sure of, is our faith. The question that I want to ask you, are you in the faith? Paul says here, examine yourself to see if your faith is genuine. The New Living Translation changes that from to see whether you are in the faith. It actually says, test yourself to see if your faith is genuine. This word examine comes from the Greek word, which means to scrutinize and try. We need to examine ourselves whether we are in the faith or not. The next part of that is test, the word test. The Greek word used here is a stronger term compared to, I'm not even trying to say the Greek words because I'll mess them up. But what it literally means is to test as to metals. If I was this morning unsure of this platform, I would walk carefully. When you get me more than 16 feet off the ground on a scaffold, I don't care how wide that walk board is. And I don't care if I help put it up there, I'm going to walk very carefully. I want to test that platform. I want to make sure that it's safe. What this word tends, the meaning of this word is like they use an illustration of a blacksmith. And what a blacksmith will do with metal is he will use intense heat. And I don't know how many of you have worked with metals, but when I worked in the metal shop, one of the things we hated was recycled metal. We despised that stuff because you'd be cutting and you'd have a section of metal that was real soft, and it would just, the saw would just go right through it. You go to the next section, you'd be cutting an I-beam, and your blade would just, you'd strip all the teeth right off the blade. It was not consistent. It was not a good, consistent piece of metal. It was as strong as the other piece that was not recycled. But it was not a consistent piece of metal. But what a blacksmith will do to test that metal is they will heat it. And they will bring it to a fire-red, molten consistency. And then they can visually inspect it to tell what kind of strength it has. And then they will work with it from there. And Paul is telling the Corinthians here to test their faith. How genuine is your faith? The second one is examine your works. And we want to look at Galatians 6 for this one. verses 1 through 5. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else, for each one should carry his own load. Paul here says, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work. The reason that he gives for examining ourselves is we can be deceived. It is easy for us to be deceived. What is one of the things that leads to deception? I believe that pride is one of those things that can lead us to deception very quickly. He also gives in this text a chain. Our work, our deeds, and our actions must agree with our faith. So I can have all the faith in the world, but if my words, my deeds, and my actions don't line up, my faith is no longer genuine. It doesn't matter how much I know, and I can know the Word of God, and I can know it through and through, and I can know it by memory. But unless I live it out and apply it, it does me no good. Some of the things that we look at that are very obvious that we should always examine would be the obvious ones: sexual immorality, drunkenness, idolatry. Those are the ones that we all can think of very quickly when we think of what is my relationship with God. But what about pride? What about causing divisions or causing dissensions, murmuring, gluttony? There's a list of things that have become okay in our culture, and we ignore them. And I believe that as Christians, as believers, we must examine our own lives and see. And if I have any pride, if I cause dissension, if I grumble, murmur, even if I eat too much, I need to deal with that. What about putting on the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If we go to Acts 17, verse 11, the writer there says that the Bereans search the Scriptures daily. It's not what we know that saves us. It's what we do with what we know. James in chapter 2, verse 17, says that faith alone without works is dead. It doesn't say it's weak. It doesn't say it's mediocre. It's dead. Faith without works is dead. How do I show that my faith is genuine? The third one is to examine yourself through God's perspective. And I want to read Psalm 139. We're going to read the whole chapter. I'm not going to talk about the whole chapter, but I want to read it. David makes some very interesting observations. And then, at the end of the chapter, is the verse that all of us know very well, or at least most of us do. If I can find it here, I'll read it. But if I want you just to pay attention to some of the things that David says as he goes through this psalm. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hands upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, for night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the sea. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God, away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. I think David was speaking out of his own heart here. He realized that he had some things in his heart that were not right. And as he comes to verse 27, search me, O God, know my heart, test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The New Living Translation reads this way. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. I want to ask you the question this morning. As we go through those three points, are you in the faith? Is my faith genuine? That is a question that I want to ask myself every day. The second one, do my works prove my faith? The third one, examining myself through God's perspective. Am I becoming more godly? Am I growing in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Again, this is not about bringing ourselves to perfection, but it's about bringing ourselves into a relationship with God that is genuine and obvious. And as we examine ourselves, we need to ask ourselves those questions. James is going to put a picture up here. If you get back there. I have a piece of wire in my hand. And he's going to give you a better picture of it because you can't see what I have here. A couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, one of our employees texted me and said, the brakes on the trailer aren't working. And about 15 minutes later, he said, they are working. And I was like, well, make up your mind. Are they working or not? He said, well, they're working now, so they were fine. And this went on for a couple weeks. They would work, and then they wouldn't work. And finally, the van needed some maintenance, so I said, well, I'll do it. Last Saturday, I pulled it in the shop, and I knew some things that needed to be done to it, so I did it. And I was feeling pretty good about it. And when he came back to work on Tuesday, we hooked it up, and I was, yes, they're going to work. They're going to work fine. He said they didn't work when I came out the driveway, but by the time I got up to the next driveway, they were working. So I said, well, it's great. Obviously, it's great. And so I hooked it back up, and guess what? Nothing. So my pride was taking a hit right there, because I was pretty sure I had it fixed. So I said, well, you go on. I'm not going to let you pull the trailer because it's not safe. So Saturday, I pulled the van in, and I decided that I would start at the last place that I had worked on. So I started at the back of the van, and I worked my way all the way to the front. And I still couldn't find anything. Everything was, all the connections were right. Everything was good. And for those of you that aren't familiar with electrical, we won't go into the details, but things were backfeeding where they shouldn't be backfeeding. That's just the way it should, that's the way I'll say it. And I was like, finally, I said, Lord, I don't know what the problem here. And something made me take a panel down that I had in my insistence on things being bolted in place. I had bolted it in place well. And as soon as I pulled it down, I saw this water. And I was 99% sure I knew what the problem was. Dale, in his hurry, and you can see, it was pinched. It worked fine for about 6 months. And all of a sudden, it didn't work fine anymore. I had cut off all contact. But to find that point, I had to take everything apart to find it.
My point is that sometimes in life, we get chafed just like that wire got chafed. Sometimes things happen that distract us. And we start looking at things that maybe shouldn't offend us. Maybe they shouldn't distract us from our relationship with God. But they do. And we cut off connection. You see, that wire affected everything. That wire cannot work alone. I cannot work alone. I need you and I need God to keep that connection. And that connection will only work as long as I do regular maintenance. So back to one of my questions that I asked in the beginning. Should I examine my life differently today because we're going to have communion next Sunday than I would have 2 months ago? No. It should be a regular thing that I do. Because I want to maintain my relationship with God. I want to maintain my relationship with my brothers and sisters. And to do so, I must come to God with the spirit of humility and ask Him the question that David did here. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me. Sometimes He's going to put me through the fire to test me. But if I really want to show genuine faith, if I really want to show my faith through my works, and if I really want to grow in love, joy, peace, and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, I will do this regular. Reuben, do you have a song?
922
in the Faith and Praise. You can stand. Father, this morning, we're just grateful for how You work in our hearts and our lives. We're grateful for the times that we can sit and commune with You and commune with each other. And as we live our lives, Father, help us to evaluate and to examine our hearts every day. Not just now, but every day. Every week, and evaluate that relationship that we have with You and how that relationship affects others. And help us to live our faith genuinely, that others can see that it is genuine. And it is only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we can do that. Pray that You would go with us this week. Be with those that are not here today. Would You be with them as they travel home?
We pray for those who are recovering from the storm. God, we just ask that you would be with them and help us to do our part, to do what we can to help them. We ask for your protection and care over each one this week. In Jesus' name, amen.